Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 155 of the Nerd Cantina Show. This week we have a big shakeup going on. Ken's out of town, and I will be doing the nerd news with our pal Sean. So this week we have a few entertainment stories with Michael Keaton's Batman, Bethesda making big apologies. We'll move on into some tech news with Texas controlling thermostats, China booting out crypto miners, and then a little bit of space news as we always do it. This should be an interesting couple weeks. Let's get to it. Calling back all nerds, insert theme song. All right, folks, that's how it's gonna go from here on out. As I said, Ken is on family vacation in an RV. He will be touring the country and seeing the sights with no signal, no Starlink, nothing to help him do this show. So we brought in our friend Sean Mullen from don'tfeedthewolf.com, and he's gonna help us ride this out for the next couple weeks. How's it going, Sean?
It's going well, and yeah, we'll do our best to you know, hopefully not get banned or anything, because I know Ken usually helps pull back on the reins, and both you and me can get a little out of control. So
yeah, this is no hold barred. There's gonna be a lot of things different without Ken in the mix. Speaking of mix, this isn't going to be mixed very well, so if you're hearing it, sound quality issues and differences, that is because he's our editor. No theme song will be added, no fuck China sound effects. I'm going bare bones here. I'm learning on the fly. You're all stuck with me, and we're going to ride it out from here. First off, you've been keeping up with Loki?
Yes. I am caught up with Loki, so I can definitely chime in on that.
I mean, we're a couple episodes in now. I think it's okay to give a decent opinion. By the time this airs, episode 3 will be coming out. So I think it's safe to say we can talk about episodes 1 and 2. If you're one of those people that are waiting to the end of the season to watch the entire season, I don't fucking feel bad for you, man. We can't just not talk about this shit. Like, you can fast forward, do what you got to do, but we can dive into it a little bit.
And there's no major, like, things have happened. It's been really, you know, it's definitely one of those shows. Like, each episode kind of stands on its own. It's not slow rolling. Like, any of the other ones, but also at the same time, I'd say there's really no major spoilers. Like, there's definitely some things that, yeah, we would take away some of the excitement, I guess, if we talk about it, but you're not going to be too spoiled right now with 2 episodes in.
Well, we see who the other Loki is.
Oh yeah. There was a big reveal. Yeah, that's true.
We get a little bit of that. I'm not mad they went in that direction, but I think they could have did it better. My envision when they would do the female Loki in the comics, it was like a tall, kind of like Hera in the Ragnarok, you know, like when she's, you know, she was kind of like that, but with a Loki helmet and long black hair. She seems small statured, I think, for a villain.
Well, I mean, Loki himself is pretty
small. I mean, he's a shapeshifter, and you could say, yeah, whatever. Like, that's, yeah, what they're playing on, is he has no true shape.
Even though, you know, like the lore of, like, you know, Loki with the Norse mythology is that he's supposed to be half giant blood, half god. So, you know, you would think he'd be.
Well, yeah, and he turns blue in a few of the movies. Like, that's part of continuity.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like what they're doing with the show. I think Owen Wilson's great in it. I think he's amazing. Doing a good job.
Yeah. It's refreshing to see him. Haven't seen him in a while, and you know, he's still got it, and he's not too, like, ridiculous or over the top taking you out of it. You know, he's not trying to be too super silly Owen Wilson. He's definitely done more serious roles, like with Royal Tenenbaums and things like that. So, you know, he can do, and Darjeeling Limited, he can definitely do more serious and kind of in between. He doesn't have to be a complete goofball.
Well, and it seems they took a lesson out of the Endgame multiverse, like the way they structure it and how they explain it. They're doing a lot better job of this. I mean, even though it's the time streams or whatever and the time lords, like, I don't know how I feel about all that so far. What are they, lizards? Aren't they lizards?
Yeah, like that's what the statues are, but I wonder though if it's going to be one of those things like, and I know nothing about this, so I'm just speculating from my own wild imagination. I could be wrong, but we see the Time Lords as statues of lizard things, right? But I'm like wondering, are they really going to be like that, or are they just going to be kind of normal looking dudes or females or who knows what, you know, like I almost wonder, like, are they going to look like those statues, or are those statues kind of just, you know, this like beefing them up omnipresence type thing, but they're not really.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm still waiting to see where that goes. It should be interesting, but either way, I mean, they're really kind of knocking it out of the park with these TV shows and given some really good quality weekly entertainment. Anytime they do one of these, it's, you know, it was worth the wait, I guess I would say, even though we got delayed and delayed and delayed, we should be way past this point in the MCU by now, if it wasn't for the unfortunate circumstances of 2020.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say, because a lot of people have been saying, I mean, is this your favorite one so far out of all of them that we've seen on Disney?
I find it more entertaining. It's more my liking. I'm a big time travel sucker. So I
was about to say, so I feel like, let's say this wasn't Loki and it wasn't in the Marvel universe, even just this bare bones, like, of like the structure, what it's about with the time travel and this kind of like this story, I feel like it could have been done with anything, even without Marvel characters,
I mean,
and it would have been entertaining, but
it
obviously
it feels kind of familiar. I saw a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie like this when I was a kid, with the grittiness and everything.
Yeah.
It's got a little time cop feel to it.
Don't we normally too, like, normally when we get a story like this, it's like B budget, super, you know, we put up with a lot. Like, it's like if you watch sci-fi or something, you kind of will forgive some really bad acting or some super cheesiness. So like to get like a high quality Marvel Disney production with this kind of sci-fi type story, I mean, it's kind of cool.
It's quality. I'm enjoying it. I'm looking forward to seeing where they take it. Also this week we had Rick and Morty start over again.
Yes.
After the long waited, I mean, it's always forever with Rick and Morty. And the minute the season starts, I get this like joy that it started, but I'm already like dreading the only 8 episode season and having to wait another 2 years for another one. Like, I'm already like, oh man, the season started. Now it's only closer till it's over again.
Right. Yeah. They definitely take their time with it, and it's a bummer, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know, you kind of want to be glad that it's not the opposite where they're churning out so many of these that it's just falling apart and we're sick of it, you know, like we're actually still able to enjoy it. It's better to want more and not get it than to you know, kind of get over it and be like, oh, well, it's always there. There's Rick and Morty, you know, I don't know.
You know, and they picked it up right where they left off. It was a good episode, and I seeped in sci-fi and a bunch of silliness. Like, it's such a quality show. I'm so glad it's back on.
Did Mr. So Nimbus, he, I guess he's voiced by Dan Harmon, but didn't he sounded a little like a Dr. Venture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
it was such an absurd character.
The pumps, dude. The thrust pumps.
In some movie news, we got leaked set photos of the Flash movie coming out and a sneak peek of the Michael Keaton Batman. What do you think so far?
Looks pretty interesting. Michael Keaton looks great. You know, I'm pretty excited to see where they go with this.
Yeah, you have to assume that it's going to deal with time travel, some kind of time arc where it's going to tie. So like, why make this movie if you're not expanding the Snyderverse?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. DC, you know, it's probably not on purpose. Like, I'm sure that they probably would love to do some kind of continuity and connect things, but it's such a disorganized mess or things bomb and don't do well and it's so hard and whatever. Like, they just, they're better off just, I guess, not connecting things. But then they're, I don't know what's going on, man. It's
kind of feels like, it kind of feels like one of those movies where like the sports team sucks and it's the last game of the season and the coach still makes them go out and try their hardest, like everything was on the line when the game really doesn't even matter. It doesn't mean shit. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, as just a fan of comic book characters, I'm interested to see where they go with it. I have really no opinions of the Flash, or like, he's never been one of my favorites, or I've never disliked him. His rendition in the Justice League and everything was okay. Like, well, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this.
You know, what's one thing I'm thinking about though right now is these three right in a row with entertainment really kind of shows you what's like big right now in the entertainment world is the whole multiverse time travel thing. Or, you know, it's like,
oh, some rendition it always of is. It. Always is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely that's really happening right now, obviously. Like, everybody wants to kind of throw their own hat in the ring.
I think it's because all these directors and writers, they get this like free reign to just do whatever they want, because you could just, with time travel, you could wipe the slate clean. You can do, you bring in characters and that, you know, from alternate universes and everything. It's like,
you kind of get to do some what if
the scenarios. Directors. Yeah. The director's sandbox just gets a lot bigger when you throw in realities and time. Like, they just get more toys to play with. And so I think they all just want to play with all the toys.
And, you know, too, you got to be thinking like, some of these people are around our age or older that are making this, and they grew up probably watching Michael Keaton as Batman. So having a chance for them to like kind of bring him back is exciting for, I'm sure, the people who are working on it, and they're hoping will be exciting for whoever, you know. I mean, honestly, I wonder if we'd be
we just gonna hope they don't ruin it. Like, we just have to hope that they don't ruin it, that they don't bastardize, you know, one of the best things that they've done with that property. I mean, it's who's always directing? It's DC. It's always DC. I don't know. I would have to do the further research. I'm sure it's widely known.
Okay. It's obviously, I don't know if it's any of the big names, you know. The Flash. Yeah. I'm trying to pull it up, but yeah. 2020. Andy Muschietti, which I've never heard. Yeah, okay. Nope. So he did It, which is interesting. So is this going to be kind of like a darker, you know, version of like, are they going to get a little dark with this? Is it going to be like a little more, you know, take advantage of the fact that it's DC and not Disney and try and get a little, oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, it'll just be filmed dark. That's their gimmick. Just low lighting and hide all the bullshit. But I mean, with anything DC puts out, you can't set your expectations too high. So just set them low and you'll be all right.
Yeah, that's true.
They also released photos of the Shazam set with the entire Shazam family in the new updated costumes. They're filming that sequel. I'm excited for that. I really enjoyed that first one. I can watch that whenever it's on cable. I actually enjoyed that Shazam movie.
So the real question will be with this, the Flash movie and the kind of like, you know, multiverse, time travel, whatever, Michael Keaton, does that Batman, you know, does he or does he not?
Yeah.
You know, with Catwoman.
I would assume, well, I mean, Snyder posted that picture and
he
and
said it's canon.
Yeah. Well, if Frank Miller drew it, it's there. So it all depends on what verse he goes in. I mean, that is the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman universe, so I'm assuming yes.
Yeah. All right.
But moving on, we got some news coming off of the E3 releases with Bethesda having the big press conference and releasing a lot of their upcoming games. and unfortunately telling the crowd that they would only be released for Xbox and PC, that most of them are going to be exclusive to Xbox, which including their big release that's coming out, Starfield. And he apologized, but it wasn't really like we feel bad for exclusivity. They did state why they have the benefits of exclusivity, that they only have to focus their team on one console and one kind of setup, so it allows them to try to do more with the one rather than focus entire teams on building these other ones. And he said when he apologized, he says he's sorry. He's not sorry that they're exclusive. He's sorry that you're mad. So it's like, yeah, sorry, not sorry, like kind of thing. But I mean, this is kind of what PlayStation fans, I mean, they have to kind of blame themselves. They've been shitting on Xbox with exclusivity for years. And then when finally, you know, Xbox spends a bunch of money, gets some exclusivity, they're going to be like, oh, this is bullshit. I can't play games that I want to play. Like, what the fuck is going on? And it was like, yeah, that's the point. Like, this is what you wanted.
Yeah, I'd say the one person who really misses out on this, or I do feel bad for, is the, you know, younger people who are at a lower class family, and they really do have to like have that strict choice of maybe if they're lucky they can get one console, and you know it really sucks for them to have to make that decision and then be limited. Those are the only people I probably feel bad for, because anybody else, it's like, hey, you can always find a way, you know, if you really want that game that badly.
Well, that's,
you go, yeah,
that's always been the struggle since the start, right? Like, yeah, it was exactly. Either Xbox or PlayStation, you know, and a lot of people went straight PlayStation with it, because that's what, you know, the titles they wanted. Now Xbox, all it did was make it a harder choice, right? Like, they're not forcing that choice upon anybody. They just made it a lot harder to make that choice, because it's kind of always been there. But at the same time, like, who doesn't have a PC?
Exactly.
Like, who doesn't have a PC? You want to play Xbox games? Play them on your computer. You know, you can have a PlayStation and a good computer and not have to buy a secondary console and deal with all that mess. Like, you can just maybe put a little bit of more money into the work from home computer or the e-learning computer. Just put a little bit of more RAM in there, throw a video card on it, and you can play all these Xbox games and have your PlayStation and only have to buy one console. So I don't understand why there's too much hate when Xbox gives you basically play it on anything but a PlayStation.
You never hear the Switch fans crying or complaining. I mean, no, they pretty much know, you know, like what they're restricted to.
It's just a bunch of kids playing like Animal Crossing in a corner. Like, they don't know what's going on. They're not paying attention to none of that shit.
Yeah.
But I think that'll take us out of entertainment for the week. We have a couple fun stories in tech. This one really kind of blows my mind. So a Texas power company during the heat waves was caught changing the temperature of people's smart thermostats during like peak usage hours. So one family said that they were at home from, I think they're out between the hours of like 2 and 5, they said it was. And the wife was home sleeping with the 3-month-old baby. The baby was sleeping. And when the husband came home, it was like 78 degrees in the house and the air hadn't been running. The wife woke up sweating, the baby sweating. And anybody that has kids knows that like, it's really easy for a baby to get dehydrated. It's not healthy at all. So he was quite upset about that. I find it amazing that they were able to do this, because they signed up people for this program that allowed them to control their smart thermostats if they signed up for a sweepstake. So it wasn't even like get a cheaper electric bill or anything like that. It's like sign up for this contest and let us fuck with your thermostat so we could save a bunch of money on the power grid. And maybe you might get something out of it. Like, that blows my mind.
And you got to know, too, that the whole purpose of creating that contest was totally just to sign people up to get them to sign up for this Smart Savers Texas thing so they could control their thermostats. Like, you know,
some dude wearing cowboy boots and a cowboy hat had a great marketing idea because he got a whole bunch of rubes to sign up for this. Like, oh yeah, what do we care? What do we care? Sign up for it. Maybe, you know.
And it's hard too.
I don't think it says what they were giving away, because like I really kind of want to know what they're giving away.
Yeah, it's hard too for me to, like, you know, I definitely obviously, yeah, that's fucked up. I'm not gonna, you know, deny that. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, whenever you get somebody caught in something like that where you're kind of taking advantage of their own kind of greed or whatever it is, like, I almost don't feel as bad, you know, like, and like you said too, I guess the context would be what were they entering into for it, but it's like, you know, how people have those you used to go to a mall, and in the mall there would be a car that you could win, and you were supposed to sign up and give your phone number and all of your, basically your data before they could easily collect all this without you doing this. And so people would willingly give up all their data for a chance to win a car that who knows if anybody ever really won. And it's kind of just like that now. It's just like these new, you know, it's an interesting thing. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I just, like, it's amazing what you can like slide in there by just like dangling the, you know, a shiny object in front of people, like, oh, free weekend to, you know, at a resort, like all inclusive. All you gotta do is sign up for this thing. You could win. And when you sign up, we're going to take control of your smart thermostat and save us a bunch of money. And it's just so, I don't know, man. It feels very Idiocracy to me.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm just like thinking right now in my head of that, you know, the South Park episode where, you know, they always had the Apple updates or whatever, and it turned into like a human centipede type thing because you were signing some contract, you know, it's like, it's just like that, you know, it's to a ridiculous scale, like, you know, yeah.
Well, bro, like I have wars at home with my girlfriend over the goddamn thermostat. Like, we go to war over what is the comfortable temperature in our house. And like, if we just both woke up in the middle of the night or in the, you know, like we're sitting in the house, all of a sudden, like, you feel like you're sweating a little bit, like, oh, did I put on deodorant today? Like, I feel like I'm sweating in my house. And you just look over and the thermostat went from like 72 to 78. Like, oh my God, I would lose my shit. And to think that your power company is just doing it, like, and I get it. Like, they're trying to save the grid, but this was part of that what happens when you sign it over to private entities. This is why the same grid that went out because of a snowstorm, a rare Texas snowstorm, now on the opposite end, they're fucking them when it's too hot. So when it's really cold, we failed you and we cost you a whole bunch of money and it was a bunch of bullshit. And when it gets hot, we're going to fuck with you again and make sure that we're profiting.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And I'm just thinking too, you know, living in California, especially over the last year or so, all of a sudden, for a lot of Californians, you know, Texas has become the new rage. Like, everybody wants to move to Texas because fuck California. And now these stories, one after another, have been kind of coming out about Texas. And it's like, well, you chose to move there. You thought it was such a better place. Look at the funky things that's going on there too. I mean, every little place has its quirks and issues. And I bet you too, there's no way in hell in California people would be doing something like this, messing with people's temperature, because there's way too many lawyers and people suing here.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if you can sue anybody just because, like, they voluntarily signed up for it. They wanted to win a prize. Like you just dangle, you know, I guarantee you get a whole bunch of people to sign up for this shit. You give away one free joint in California and somebody's got control over everybody's fucking thermostat. It's going to cost maybe $3 in weed and they got control over your thermostat. I promise you that.
It's crazy, man. Yeah, they could obviously give away a good prize, like actually way more than that, because of how much money they're saving by controlling people's thermostats. And like, you know, they probably somebody did the math and added it up and they're like, hey, we could save this much money if we do this. We'll give away, you know, 10%, 15%, probably even 5% or something low as a prize for this contest, and we'll get everybody to sign up for it. Win-win.
Yeah. Just dangle a shiny object in front of them. They'll follow. People are sheep. Just give them a carrot and they'll walk right off the edge. All right, Sean actually gets to join us for a Fuck China segment. And this week in Fuck China news, China is kicking out half the world's crypto miners. In a energy consumption dispute, China is finding that they don't want them there. And they are literally throwing them out of the country. There's already been somewhat of a small exodus going down of the crypto miners in China. They're moving out throughout a bunch of different parts of Asia. And it's going to affect the blockchain is what the big fear is we're losing computing power. It's going to make transactions higher and crypto prices more scarce because you don't have a lot of people mining that code. Sean's a big crypto guy. What do you think about this?
Well, one thing off the bat is, you know, last year, still in like the height of excitement and we're still euphoric and everything's pumping, there was one day that some miners went offline and the market crashed. It would be a crash in traditional sense, but in crypto, it was a pullback. You know, we had a little bit of an effect from that. And that was just one day of losing some of these miners. So it definitely could have some effects right now in the short term, in the medium term and whatnot. But in the long run, reading this article that you brought up, it's interesting. Good little segue from the last thing we were just talking about, because they're talking about, I guess, Texas has some of the cheaper, lower energy prices in the U.S. Sort of,
might be going, and a lot of the representatives of Texas are trying to lure them there because other cheap energy prices, which a lot of it comes from renewables. I think they said in the article that 19% of Texas's power comes from wind turbines.
Yep.
Which, I mean, if we're going to move forward with crypto, I think we do need to have some of these discussions and just provide alternatives for powering these things. You know, if you can set up mining facilities in the middle of the desert with giant solar pads, you know, like there's plenty of land in Arizona to put acres of solar pads and just have all those that power funding miners. Like, There are solutions to this that we can find to alleviate the drain on our natural resources. But I think this is a China flex. They love controlling their infrastructure and their citizens. And I think this is just another way to do it. And it's crazy because a lot of people don't know how they're actually going to implement this and how they're going to roll it out to get them out. But I think we can all envision in our head Chinese. So they're tied to the power grid. And just like how they used to find like weed growers, and they used to just take a helicopter and fly over people's houses and look in the infrared and to see the heat, you know, in people's attics. And then they would be like, all right, that's got to grow operation. They do the same thing with the energy consumption. You know, so if you're not a Bitcoin miner, but you're draining a lot of energy at your house, they're going to come knock on your door and make sure you ain't got any servers in your basement.
Yeah, it's interesting to say the least. And it's the timing of it too is just interesting, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people that were really uncomfortable about realizing just how many miners and how much crypto is being mined in China. So it's kind of that's, you know, an interesting time for this to be happening now, to like maybe break that up a little bit. And especially too, talking about coming to Texas, which is where, you know, Musk has some operations and things like that. It's like the timing of all this just seems a little, you know, interesting for the conspiracy people out there for sure. That's and it funny. could be a good thing though for them, because I'm sure there's some people that are very uncomfortable about the fact that China controls so much or is making so much of the Bitcoin.
Yeah, I want to say it says that one estimation that China had 65 to 75% of the world's Bitcoin miners.
Yep.
Like, and we all seen throughout this pandemic what relying on China to provide our services and goods has gotten us. It's, you know, it's a kind of old news, you know. We cannot be so reliant on them as a country. And this is another subject that shows how much control China has. And this isn't even about like us versus China. Like, crypto is a global market, you know. So people, yep, investors in Europe, investors in every country in the world should care that, you know, at any point China can just shut down 75% of the mining capability of the blockchain, which is just kind of like insane.
Yeah, and that's the thing. For something that's supposed to be decentralized, to have its source, the sources of where it's coming from, be so centralized is a huge, you know, kind of threat and something to be concerned about. So breaking that up and splitting it around is not a bad thing. I think in the long run, I think it's a great thing. And right now, I mean, crypto's, you know, taking some hits on its own, other things going on. It's just a good time. You know, bears are in control. So why not have it happen right now? You know, let's get through this. I think the long term, you know, it could all be really good. It could be something once it's out of our, you know, yeah, we'll see what happens though.
Well, at least everybody losing money on crypto can stop crying about Elon, right? Like, they can find a new enemy. They can find a new enemy this time.
Oh, well, know? There's, I'll say in a lot of the trading groups and places online, people already love to blame China though. China's like, and it's funny too, because you'll actually pull up the stats and it'll show that like, oh, it actually looks like Asia was the one trying to pump the market, and the times that we were dumping was during US hours. But like, people are still always trying to blame and put the dumps on China. So, and long before Elon Musk was even in the picture with crypto, China's always been the big one that everybody wants to blame for, you know, any unfavorable price action.
Yeah, I just, it's hard for me to feel bad at the people that bought Bitcoin at 60 and Doge at 70 and are crying and screaming to the world now that it's all somebody else's fault. It's all somebody else's fault. I didn't look at any charts or take any advice or see anything, you know, for anything. And I lost my life savings because of Elon. And I just, it makes me laugh. It really does, because it's just so unfortunate.
I'm not the person who came up with this, you know, and somebody else said it first, but like, it's always a conspiracy or, you know, there's something going on when the price is going unfavorably, like not in the direction that you want. But of course, when it goes your way, when you make money, it's all you, right? Like, people want to take responsibility for like, oh, I'm so smart, I made such a good trade or a good investment, when it's doing what they want it to. But the second it starts going the other way, it's a conspiracy. There's so-and-so is responsible. It's Elon Musk, it's China, whatever. It's a horrible way to like look at things and approach things. And like you said, I mean, I've heard you too on the show talk about it many times, like, and openly admit that, you know, you like to gamble and, like, you know, if you want to approach things that way, but you still will take responsibility for whatever happens, like, because, you know, like, you're responsible for yourself and for your actions. Nobody else told you to put that money in there.
Yeah. nobody told me to buy Shiba Inu tokens. No one told me. It was a whim.
Yep.
Well, in other governmental tech news, we have the President Biden picking a new FTC chair. Why this is important is because Lina Khan has been named the one to go after the Googles, Facebooks, Apples, and Amazons of the world and try to enforce these antitrust laws over the last few weeks. We've talked about a few of these stories. Last week being that they're trying to break up Amazon from being a retailer and a store provider, a product provider and a seller. So you have incentives as a company when you make products to limit the availability of your competitors' products in your marketplace. And Amazon has such a large share of the global marketplace that it is considered to be monopolistic and to do so. And they've named Lina Khan to be the one to go after these companies. I guess from what I've read, she has a good record. I mean, I can't say that I have her baseball card. I don't follow these things that that closely. I'm sure some people do. But we'll see. I never get too excited over these things. A lot of it is just, smoke and mirrors, dog and pony show. So we'll see if this, you know, she has a little bite to her and if any of this sticks.
She, she seems like she might be somebody who's at least tech savvy and is coming in. So that's good for them, to at least... she's 32 years old. Yeah. So she's young. She grew up with tech. She at least understands it more than a lot of the people in White House, and she's going to try and make a difference, you know, good for her. Like sometimes I feel like it's too little too late, tech just sees so much control, especially within the last year. And the more and more it becomes like just mandatory and involved in our lives, like everybody has to have access to these things and use it. Yeah, of course there should be some regulation and control, but it's like at the same time, these tech giants are they're just huge now. They're like their own countries, and you're now trying to backpedal and start trying to take back and see some control and power over them. And it's a huge mess. So power to her. If she can make a difference and she can do something, let's see it. Let's see what happens. She's young.
And both parties are doing their usual dance. The left's propping her up like, she's the second coming and she has all this like weight behind her. And then the right is, very woeful of what she might do and what the lasting effects it will have on the economy and the job market. But these are subjects we talk about all the time on the show. We need to do something. Hopefully she has a vision of the end that we want to get to, and she can do it without kind of tanking the stock market and just dragging it out and actually spending millions of tax dollars to try to prosecute this and have nothing come of it. I mean, that's always like a something that seems to happen all the time. We spend tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in investigations and committees and this and that. And then it just dies off. It goes nowhere.
Yeah. She probably, in their Zoom calls and stuff is probably the one who's like teaching them how to do different things and unmute people or mute other people or give it like showing them things that to them, it's like, she's teaching them how to discover fire.
Yeah.
So that's probably a lot of the reason they're propping her up. I mean, is she just, actually understands and knows a lot of this tech stuff beyond their level, which is, still it's like, we'll see what happens with that.
Well, our last story in tech involves Tesla's self-driving cars. Tesla unveiled that they have a new giant supercomputer to process all the data for its self-driving program. It is the fifth largest computer in the world. It has teraflops and numbers that I can't pronounce and have no clue what they mean. If you are listening to this show and you know what those numbers mean, man, more power to you. I don't know how you found us, but like, yeah, it's an ungodly amount of processing power. And they say they need it, you know, in order to process all the data that it does to make these cars automate safely. They need something crazy. I read the article and I don't know if I'm right or not, but if this computer is processing all the data, if we get to a mass rollout for automation, like, is this like Al Qaeda target number one? Like, if you blow up this building, are cars just doomed to like run into each other? Like, if in 10 years, if we get to this mass, place where all the cars are driving themselves, can you just take out these supercomputers and it'll just be massive chaos? And like, are we going to get to the point as humans, like, where you can't even remember how to drive anymore because you've been in self-driving cars for so long? Like, I can't remember a phone number for shit because of cell phones. Like, I've had a cell phone so long. Like, I think I remember like three phone numbers. That's it.
I go back and forth on the whole thing because it's like, on the one hand, I mean, you know what it's like being out on the road with people. For that to all be automated and not have to deal with the crazy bullshit that we have to deal with sometimes with people driving, like, there's some people that shouldn't have a license, period. They should never have had one. I don't know how they do. They shouldn't be on the road. So if we start cleaning that up, there could be some good things to it for sure. But yeah, you're right. It could get to a point where suddenly, you know, nobody knows how to really drive anymore. Nobody actually owns any cars anymore. Everybody just kind of rents them. Like, you know, you just get this automated Uber type taxi thing that takes you from A to B, and you don't have to, you know, like, a car.
Well, that's the best part, I think, about self-driving cars is that they envision, if you own a car, that, like, right now my car is in my driveway doing nothing. It could be out Ubering, making me money. I could just flip a switch on my car and put it into Uber mode, and the car that is just sitting on the street doing absolutely nothing for me could be making me money. That actually kind of like blows my mind. I think that's a kind of a great concept with self-driving cars.
Yeah, no, that'd be really great. You just definitely either have to take care of the maintenance and cleaning, you know, the inside from different people in your car. From people like, you know, maybe doing drugs, having sex, throwing up.
Yeah, it's going to be no holds barred. And like,
I'm sure some people are probably going to, when it gets to that point, you're probably going to have a camera inside of your vehicle.
Oh, you have to, yeah.
Let people know it's there. Obviously, you have
But people forget there's cameras there, man. Yeah. Humans are fucking weird like that. They forget the cameras there and they start doing all kinds of shit. And you're watching them on these shows and you're like, bro, don't you remember there's a camera watching you? But after a certain amount of time, it just like kind of goes away. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Given that this is the fifth most powerful computer and it's for self-driving AI, what the fuck are they doing with 1 through 4?
Yeah, that's a good question, man.
like, what are 1 through 4 used? You figure 1's used in like space calculations, like on the movie The Martian.
It's probably not even the best computer that's used for space.
you figure one's used for space calculations, the other one maybe some kind of like physics computer, some kind of like MIT type shit. Higgs boson type level, like needing computing. I hope like number 3 isn't like doing something nefarious. Like, I still believe that there's some like super villain in a mountain just waiting to come out, like Jeff Bezos. like his evil twin or his evil brother, Beth Jezos.
You know what's gonna happen is when Jeff Bezos goes to space, he's going to that spacecraft is going to blow up or something, and he's going to supposedly die. But then this evil Jeff Bezos is going to emerge, which is actually just him who faked his death. And now he's decided to be a full-time supervillain. Like,
oh yeah, we've had
he just embraces it.
If he's going to go out, this is how he fakes it. This is exactly how he fakes it. You know, but I'm excited for the self-driving cars. It's good. Elon's just dumping more money into this stuff. Obviously they're making a huge investment into it. And it's coming soon. Like, I will be able to do some gaming while I'm riding to some holiday functions. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely looking forward to the days of just like, I want to travel somewhere and I don't have to drive. You know, maybe we'll have less driving under the influence, things like that. You won't have to worry about designating a driver. And two, let's say, you know, you're lower income, or you're just tight with money, whatever, like people may not have to worry about buying or paying into cars anymore. Like, they'll just save that.
No, they're going to have Divi bikes, but Divi cars.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be like, you know, but then for people who have more money and they want to invest in one of these vehicles that helps taxi people around and make extra money, you know, it's just going to be another one of those things where the rich get richer kind of thing, you know. And yeah, but I'm all for it. I can't see any complaints. I mean, I enjoy driving. I used to have some muscle cars when I was younger and things like that. Like, so I definitely can have fun in a car, but also too, you drive enough and you spend enough time in traffic. Like, there's definitely times you'd rather not be driving. So,
well, in our last story, we head back to space as always. And out of NASA, we got word that the SmallSat, is it called again? Yeah, the SmallSat mission to Mars, they got canceled because they couldn't hitch a ride with anybody. They had a plan to do it. I can't remember who the first bidder was, but NASA lost its ride, I think, on the Russian ship. And we did that story. Well, I guess they might have found another way to hitch a ride to Mars with Rocket Lab. It is kind of crazy. We have all these different space companies. Like, you have multiple options of who you want to shoot you to Mars. Like, this is just a crazy time to be alive. But yeah, they're excited to announce that they might have another way to get out there. So the mission is back on. They're going to still go ahead with planning. We're going to see humans on Mars in our lifetime. That is going to be a thing. Obviously, with these companies making these kinds of pushes to fulfill the goals, it's going to go down.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's funny, you know, reading this, though, like, kind of feel like a little simulation. I mean, doesn't Rocket Lab just kind of sound like a gaming company or something? You know, like,
oh yeah, like,
it's,
like,
totally
it seems very simplistic. And as I read through, I think it was SpaceX's Falcon 9 that changed it. That's why they were going to get on the Falcon 9, but they couldn't.
They declined to disclose the value of the contract. So they're not going to let us know how much.
Someone will find out. Someone definitely will find out.
But it does say here, I guess their Simplex program have a cast cop of up to $55 million. So
that's what they were willing to pay for it.
Yeah, cost cap.
Well, we just saw that they set the, you know, one seat in the Blue Origin goes for what, $23 million, we said last week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to take a whole system up with you for 55, it's not bad. It's not a bad dollar amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that wraps us up this week. Sorry for the change, guys. This is what you got. We will get Ken back with us in the next couple of weeks. You could definitely see my weaknesses as a host shining brightly when I lose our kind of groove that we've had now for 154 episodes. But I got to give a special thanks to Sean for coming out and helping us keep this train rolling and getting through these stories. As always, go to thenerdcantina.com/community, join the group, drop us your opinions on how any of these stories made you feel, or rip us a new one for this sound quality. I can take it. I am not the editor. I have 2 days to figure out how to process this and get it posted. And I am kind of scrambling to figure this all out. I've kind of had it easy with my brother being chief engineer. He's got a system down. I just load my files and he takes it on, and it's been pretty nice. It's been nice and easy. And yeah, having all this in my lap really makes me appreciate all the work he does for the show. So Sean will be back with us next week. If you want, Sean, tell everybody where they can find your work and give yourself a little promotion.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks again. It's my pleasure, and I hope I do a okay job. You know, I'm definitely not going to be able to fill the shoes of Ken or whatever. But yeah, don'tfeedthewolf.com is the main source. And right now I'm working on a new project that's going to involve a lot of multiple different artists, and I'm writing a story each week, and then I'm having different artists come in and create that story, you know, and make it into a comic that's limited to 10 panels. It's going to be called 10 panels. Just hitting all the major beats of a story. So it's like a way that I can kind of, you know, curate and improve my abilities as a story writer. And like by really practicing and hammering down story structure and coming up with new stories each week, I feel like eventually too, like this could lead to maybe one of these stories being expanded into a larger format, or just overall any story that I want to write, I'm going to have probably tighter scenes and whatnot, because I'm getting really good at like hitting those beats and practicing that. And then at the same time too, I'm going to work with so many different artists, and I get to promote them as well, get their work out there, hopefully get them more work. So, you know, it's just going to be fun. And I wish I had more to share on that and to share it itself, but it's just not ready yet. So it will be soon though.
Well, we keep an eye out for it. Well, I'm sure you'll let everybody know when they'll be able to find that. All right, nerds. We'll see you guys next week. I hope we didn't bother you too much on this ride, and we'll get it going. I'll try to do a better second week. With all that said, take care.